Welcome to the New York Outdoor News Great Northeast Podcast. Every 2 weeks, we explore news and issues affecting hunters, anglers, and conservation across the northeastern United States. If you enjoy the content here, be sure to subscribe to our print or digital versions by calling 800-535-5191 or visit our website at outdoornews.com. Now, here's your host and a man who claims he's immune to buck fever, New York Outdoor News editor Dan Ladd.
This episode of the Great Northeast Podcast is brought to you by the Family Forest Carbon Program, a collaborative initiative created by two nonprofit organizations, the American Forest Foundation and the Nature Conservancy, assisting landowners in improving the health of their land with long-term sustainable forest management practices while providing guaranteed annual income. Learn more at familyforestcarbon.org. Greetings and welcome to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd, editor of New York Outdoor News. As always, happy to be along and happy to have you along as we are about to stare down our very first hunting seasons. We're approaching the end of August, beginning of September, which is considered the start of meteorological fall. Say that 10 times real fast. But that means that we've got some Canada goose seasons opening up in a number of states here in the Northeast, if not September 1st, perhaps a little later. We've also got small game seasons going on starting September 1st, mainly gray squirrel. And there's still a lot of people that like to get out there and put something in the frying pan. I can certainly understand that. Before we get to our guest, we've got something on a little more serious note to talk about. We've got a missing persons case here in the central Adirondacks of New York State, up near Moose River Plains, a very remote area in that region. A gentleman named Craig Streeter, 73 years old, has been missing, last seen August 2nd. State police just issued a press release on August 27th, saying they were looking for information from anybody who may have been in the area between August 2nd and August 7th to maybe try to pin down if they had seen this gentleman. He left a campsite in the middle of Moose River Plains, about not quite halfway through. It's a 23-mile-long road between Indian Lake and Inlet. And very remote, plenty of campsites. There's like 116 of them there. And literally 70,000-plus acres of backcountry wilderness. Lots to explore. Area is very popular with deer hunters in the fall, of course, campers throughout the warm weather seasons. And it serves as a snowmobile corridor in the winter. So it's a pretty popular area, but very remote. And Streeter was last seen at the Stewart's shop in Indian Lake on August 2nd, nearly 4 weeks ago. So if you've got any information regarding that, please reach out to the state police. Our guest this week is a gentleman. Well, it's the last time we're going to speak with him in his current capacity as president of the New York Crossbow Coalition. That is Roy Dust. Roy took over for Rick McDermott, who passed away a few years ago, and was able to see the passage of the crossbow bill last year, just about a year ago at this time. Governor Hochul signed into law legislation that would allow the use of crossbows during all of the archery seasons. Since then, the coalition's membership kind of tapered off. Well, it really tapered off, and we'll let Roy talk about that. But I guess success doesn't always mean longevity, but it's too bad. And as Roy will tell you, there were some things that Rick had hoped would happen. Rick was always confident that this day would come in terms of full inclusion. And when it did, he had other ideas for the coalition, what it could do on the positive side of things once that was realized. Unfortunately, that's not the case. And one thing I want to tell you is we did have some difficulties getting Roy connected here through our podcast software. So the very first part of our interview with Roy, some of the audio may sound a little funky. So please bear with us. It does improve as things move on. We'll be right back with Roy right after this.
Are you an avid angler searching for the latest fishing news and tips? It's time to check out OutdoorNews.com. Get ready to reel in the freshest updates and expert advice from top anglers. Plus, you'll have access to the most up-to-date fishing reports, lake maps, lake reports, and more. Don't let the big one get away. Join OutdoorNews.com and reel in a world of fishing knowledge and expertise. Join today, OutdoorNews.com. Your passion, your news, your fishing journey.
Welcome back to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd, editor of New York Outdoor News, and we've got Roy Dust. And Roy, this is a bittersweet ending for the New York Crossbow Coalition. I mean, you guys finally accomplished what, you know, was the ultimate goal. Maybe not all of it, but I think anyone that you ask would say, you know, you guys, you got it done. And I hate that term, to be honest with you, but that's exactly what happened. So I saw the email that went out, and it was basically a farewell message. And rather than read it, how about you explain a little bit of that for us?
We thought if we kept going for a year and we could keep the membership involved, that we would be able to go out and do things that Rick taught about with all of us over the years, about, you know, doing hunts for youth and ladies and veterans and handicapped people and all kinds of things. But it looked like we were getting less than a 10% renewal on our memberships, and so there just wouldn't be any funds to do anything with. You know, we would be eating up what we currently had. And we felt the best way to honor Rick and do the best thing for the assets that the Crossbow Coalition had, excuse me, was to go back to a lot of the things that Rick did. One of those things was the youth archery and sportsman's camp. We've been working with that up there in Region 9 for years. So we donated, some funds to keep. We used to donate $500 a year there. And we sent some funds there to keep that going for a while, as far as our portion. The remaining funds, we actually started up a memorial youth, or Rick had a memorial youth pheasant hunt, and we set the money up for that to keep that going. I mean, that thing was really, that was like Rick's baby, one of his babies, even before he got involved with Crossbow. So then we set up a scholarship in the name, of him and his wife, who she probably didn't get enough credit for letting him do all the things and spend all the time and efforts that he did. So we felt that was only fair. And we actually lucked out on clearing out our physical assets and, paying off any bills and stuff that we had to deal with. So, it's just the right time to get it done. We actually even donated, we were going to have a booth at the Woodsman's. And because we were closing, we knew we were closing down before that, we were approached by the New York Trappers asking if, they could have the booth because they hadn't bought one. And we talked to Boonville, and they said that was fine, so we gave them that.
Let's talk about the last year. I mean, it was just about a year ago, right around now, as we came into September, that Governor Kathy Hochul signed the Crossbow Bill, made it official. Obviously, it passed the Assembly and the Senate prior to that. What's it been like the past year? I mean, how was the hunting season? What did you hear from crossbow hunters? I know you lost members, but what did you hear in that year's time? I mean, what transpired?
And of course, they sent out a letter a month and a half ago, also kind of hinting towards this might happen. We had been getting quite a few emails from from members thanking us for all of our efforts and glad it got done and that kind of thing, and that that was very I felt really good about that, and again wish that Rick was able to see those and how many of those unsolicited thank yous came through. And then we actually we did the Syracuse show, within the back of our mind, going, well, let's see how it's going to go. And surprisingly, we signed up as many new members we normally would at that show. people, and it, but it was people thanking us for what we had done, kind of thing, you know. And then the same thing happened again at the show over in by Westmoreland there in Whitestown. Again, we signed more new members than we did, you know, the previous 2 years there. But it's still just, you know, it wasn't adding up, and that's why, because we actually had a raffle going for a crossbow, but it was from both shows, the Whitestown show and Woodsman. And when we decided we were going to do Woodsman, we just went ahead and pulled a winner out of that. And a lucky individual over here in Constantia, he thought I was kidding when I called him. But he finally took that it was for real, and it didn't take him long to get to my house here in Camden to pick it up.
And what about the season? What did you hear about? You hear from people about the hunting season.
I heard nothing but good. Again, you know, at those couple of shows, and from what I read and talking to a couple of the DEC guys that you know, I talked to this year, you know, they came to I'm a hunter safety instructor. And on my hunter safety day, and then I had one DEC guy, and on my bow hunting day, because I always do that. I do both classes, one on Saturday, one on Sunday, which I think makes it easier for people, and I know it for me. But anyway, two of the different DEC guys, and they all had good things to say and said that what they saw a lot of other people have told me is, and you saw right in your paper, the archery kill, and how many were crossbow and how many, you know, were vertical bow. And the good thing is, from all that I can tell, is that wasn't a bunch of people running out and buying a crossbow that had never hunted archery before. It was predominantly people that either couldn't use a vertical bow anymore, but used the vertical bow use it anymore, and so they went back and you know, it again. And then it was others who had still been using their vertical bow, but instead of being comfortable with a 30-yard shot or a 35 or a 40-yard shot, they weren't anymore. You know, they really weren't confident enough and were so glad to have, you know, had the ability to use a crossbow where they could get back to a 30 to a 40-yard shot and feel that it was ethically, good.
40 yards is my range. I mean, I think I fit that last example. I mean, when I was a younger hunter, I was very capable with a compound bow. And over the years, my skills diminished, mainly my eyesight, even though I would practice profusely. And my range went from basically to about 20 to 25 yards as a limit with the compound, maybe 30 in an open field. But I used to have kind of no problem shooting 35 or so in an open field, you know, as opposed to the woods. And, but I just did, I just lost the ability to shoot over the years. And I didn't invest in equipment the way some people do. I mean, I know folks that get a brand new bow every year or two. That's not me. You know, some of these bows and compound bows and crossbows are more expensive than firearms. With my crossbow right now, I'm comfortable with a broadside shot at a deer in an open field up to about 40 yards. I probably wouldn't shoot beyond that because of the lack of kinetic energy beyond that distance that I'm concerned with the crossbow arrow or bolt, whatever somebody wants to call it. But I'm much more confident in the woods. And I feel, and this has always been my point with the crossbow, what's wrong with a more lethal, component for hunting, implement? It's the shooting an arrow. What's wrong with a more ethical kill? You know, and I think crossbow and compound hunters alike are taking too long a shots, period. They have a little more, too much confidence in their equipment, maybe. That's just my opinion. And when I hear stories from people, the shots they take, and sometimes they make them and sometimes they miss, and maybe they don't tell you about when they miss. But again, I think that last point you just made was a valid one. Hey, Roy, I want to take a quick break. I'm going to come back and want to talk some more about what's gone down in the past year or so
right after this.
There's a great program available for youth who love to hunt and fish. It's called the Outdoor News Junior Pro Team, and any youth 18 or under can join for free at jrproteam.com. JPT program showcases useful videos and tips to help encourage the next generation to become stronger anglers and hunters. It's a platform to celebrate and inspire those outdoor loving youth. Check out the photos of Outdoor News Junior Pro Team members on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube, and visit our jrproteam.com for more information.
Welcome back to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd, editor of New York Outdoor News. And Roy, I hope this isn't the last time we speak, but it is the last time we're going to speak to Roy Dust as president of the New York Crossbow Coalition, because they have decided to fold the organization or disband or whatever you want to call it after obtaining, well, we got full inclusion for crossbow pretty much a year ago. So we were talking about the hunting season. Was there anything else you wanted to share about that? You made some great points, obviously, one that I felt that fit me characteristically, but were there others?
Well, I think another good example, and it's one of the things, truthfully, that I'm going to miss unless I can figure out how to make it happen kind of privately on my own. But this past Saturday, one of the things that had been promised before we decided to fold was that Greenfield Fish and Game over, that's a club over outside of Utica, had asked us to do a Ladies' Day deal, and I committed to it. So I held on to the two crossbows and the targets and everything that we always used for those type events, and I went Saturday to do that. And it's just so... you know, when it comes to the recruiting side of things, again, you know, just looking down the road at all hunting, not just archery, but those women, to a T, you know, just, you know, when you put a crossbow in their hands and they with a little instruction, you know, they're hitting the target and they're feeling happy about it and they're liking it and it's not kicking my shoulder. You know, my husband, I mean, one of the comments this past weekend was, you know, my husband tried to get me into gun hunting, but, you know, I can't shoot good because it hurts my shoulder. And so I flinch, I'm not comfortable with taking a shot. But now he's going to buy me a crossbow. Yeah, that kind of thing. And it happens every time I've done one of these ladies deals. It's just, you know, it's something that I'm going to miss personally. And I think somehow, and again, this is one of those things, I don't know if I ever mentioned to you, but after everything was signed last year, I did send a letter to New York Bow, which I knew wasn't going to go anywhere.
The New York Bow Hunters.
In hopes that we could get together and do things to further all of hunting and the conservation. And, you know, bygones be bygones, but, of course, I got no response.
I was going to ask you about that because you had told me that you were going to reach out about that and hopefully be able to work something out because, obviously, as much as you're known for your work with the crossbow, you've said to me many times, including in the last few minutes right here, that you are a bow hunting education instructor.
It's just a shame. There's so many attacks, you know, against our industry that for any infighting, I'm really sorry that we had to have all that infighting, but we don't have to anymore. It's a done deal. It's done. You know, we got 99.5% of everything that was necessary to get the crossbow to be an actual piece of archery equipment. And, you know, if everybody doesn't stay involved, all archery is going to go away.
I agree. The infighting, I mean, I don't want to blame social media for that, but it's certainly a vehicle for people to vent, I guess, behind a keyboard. And I've seen a lot of it just this year with the DEC's recently proposed and now realized regulations that we're about to see come into fruition here with the hunting seasons. I mean, deer season's just around the corner for parts of the southern zone in New York State. And boy, there's a lot of people at odds over this. And then we went through it with antler restrictions. So, yeah, you're right. The crossbow debate, well, let's hope it's over. I don't know what the next one will be, but I'm sure they'll come up with something because no matter what you do, there's just going to be people who are not happy. That's, and
Maybe there's people that don't want to be happy. I don't know. I'm a happy guy from what I can tell from you. You seem like a happy guy. And I think people are grateful for what you guys put together, the work you did. And of course, you know, we're glad that our New York State legislators finally got the idea. I think Deborah Glick going down there, and she's retiring, by the way, her going down there and working with DEC and seeing a crossbow, that went a long way. I know there was people from the Conservation Fund Advisory Board who were, you know, pushing for this. There was a lot of people pushing for it, and it was nice that folks finally listened, and there was an organization like yours there to say, yes, there, you know, this is a thing. This isn't just and I'll use dove hunting as an example. You know, there's some talk about dove hunting, and there was a lot of talk about dove hunting 15 or 20 years ago, but they never formed a New York State Dove Hunting Coalition. Exactly. So anyway, you know, I appreciate the work you guys did, and of course the work Rick did. And again, I know that's the blemish on the whole thing, is that his passing a few years back kind of really, you know, that hurt in a lot of ways. And that's when I say this is bittersweet. I know that's what makes it bittersweet, because, you know, he wasn't here to see it, but yet the work that he did played a big role.
Well, and he, you know, I said it in the letter, you know, he left me with a real good group of people, and most of them are involved in other organizations already, and will continue to, you know, to be that way. I mean, like I was, you know, when we had the organization, I was on the Conservation Council as our representative. Well, now they don't need me as a representative because I don't have an organization to represent. But, you know, a lot of them, you know, they really are still going at it. And you know, myself, I don't know who else I'll throw my weight behind, but, you know, I already work with the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, and you know, I support them, and I'm an, you know, I support the NRA, and, you know, I kind of stayed out of it, and then, of course, I'm tied up so much with 4-H, too, that I can't add too many things.
So I want to talk about all that stuff and some of those people, but one more question before we go down that road. What's it been like since you announced that you were going to disband the organization?
You just got it. It just went out. But we had, you know, there are some people that saw it coming. Okay. And again, they, you know, wished that, like me, the organization could have continued and done more of the things that make a difference. But they also admitted that, you know, hey, you know, I gave you my donation so you guys had some money to work with, but I don't have the time. And that's, I don't care what organization it is today. If you look at the average age of the people that are in these organizations and, you know, working to get things done, we're starting to get too old.
Welcome to my world. And, you know, it's not just us. You know, we know that's a problem in the outdoors. I'm a member of a couple of organizations and county federations and State Outdoor Writers Association. And just like any volunteer group, you've got those who it means a lot to, and they stay involved and they make sure things get done. And you have a number of members that are part of an organization because they want to be part of it, but they just don't get involved at any point. I mean, my Fish and Game Club has over 700 members, but you go to a meeting and if there's 20 people there, you're lucky. And I hear the same things with fire departments and, you know, volunteer, any volunteer group, whether it's EMTs or whatever that is, but especially, you know, volunteer fire departments, that's their biggest thing. You see them recruiting. Hey, Roy, I want to take another quick break and come back and catch up on those things we mentioned right after this.
Your land is your legacy, but keeping it healthy and thriving means caring for it now and in the future. The Family Forest Carbon Program can help you do right by your land with guaranteed income, help developing a forest management plan, and advice from experts. If you own 30 acres or more of forest land in Vermont, Massachusetts, or New York, you may be eligible to enroll in the Family Forest Carbon Program. Visit FamilyForestCarbon.org and enroll today.
Welcome back to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Land, editor of New York Outdoor News. And we've got Roy Dust here on the podcast for the last time as president of the New York Crossbow Coalition. But Roy, I got a feeling we might be hearing more from you. I want to talk more about what's next for you, but let's talk about some of these folks you listed here, your board members. And I'm going to start with Bill Wilbur, because he's been the vice president, and I know Bill worked with Rick, and Bill, he's one of our New York Outdoor News persons of the year. He's worn a lot of hats. I mean, this guy.
He's still wearing a lot of hats.
Yes, he has. I ran into him in Albany back in March, you know, and he was speaking on behalf of the sportsman's trying to caucus. It was in Albany.
Yep.
You know, Bill's in your neck of the woods, correct? You live in the same area?
Yep, he's just north of me, about an hour.
Yep. So he's, you know, this is just another notch in his cap. I mean, he's going to stay involved in things for a while, I presume.
Oh yeah, he's working. You know, he's working. He works with at least three different local organizations up there: the Pheasants Forever, and the his local gun club, and the conservation group, and
Wild Turkey Federation.
Because he's got too many. But you know, him and Don Fenske both are tied up in so many. Well, and Burr Cohen. They all live right up in that same area.
Okay.
And so they belong pretty much to all of the same things and push those, and they're officers in all of them. You know, it's not that they're just a member. They're the workforce. They're the, you know, I mean, one of the things we had to think about when we were going to do Woodsman's was, you know, what days is Bill and Don and Bert going to be available to work the coalition booth, because they've got to work the other two booths, the Pheasants and the Turkey Federation.
Sure.
So, those three are really, you know, they're probably, and I don't know the exact time when everybody came in. I mean, I personally, you know, came into Rick. I mean, I saw him at shows back starting in 2012, but in 2014 at Syracuse, I happened to mention to him that I might have some time to help him out if he needed it. And he latched onto that pretty quick. Like Steve Amoretti, Mike Mueller, and Steve Zahurik, they're all out way away from our centralized group. So most of them belong, again, to local chapters of at least two to three different ones, you know, whether it's the Turkey Federation or the Pheasant or the Whitetail Deer or whatever. They all are, got their fingers in all as many pots as they can stir.
Well, Steve Zahurak, he serves on the board of directors for the New York State Outdoor Writers Association. And I remember him presenting one time at one of our banquets on behalf of the Crossbow Coalition. And he mentioned how he was going door to door with the Albany politicians. He was knocking on doors, Republicans and Democrats alike, and talking to them about the virtues of crossbow hunting. And I didn't know some of the other folks you mentioned, but I do know that Thomas McDermott was your treasurer. That's Rick's son, correct?
Rick's son, and yeah, he was. And no, it's not that he wasn't involved when Rick was alive, but you know, he was in the background. But when after his father, died, he was our treasurer. He took care of doing the membership thing. He worked shows. He really stepped up and was super vital part. There's no question about it. And in the background, I think at least one of his sisters helped him a little bit too with, getting the mail or that kind of thing. But the McDermott family, Thomas carried the torch the most, but I think they continue to back us up.
Anyone else?
We had a member that left us. Larry Decker, Becker.
Larry Becker.
And I probably knew the least about him. because I, you know, he didn't work any of the shows or anything, but he was pretty implicit in that Albany market with, you know, reaching people and that kind of thing.
Well, Larry is involved in a lot of sportsman's issues, and he was, like yourself, he kept me abreast of the crossbow situation, still does. I still hear from Larry. Thank the world of Larry. He's another Outdoor News Person of the Year, and well-deserved. And I do know that the issue was important to him. So the big question is, what's next for Roy Dust?
Well, the immediate next is I'm the technical delegate for the 4-H equine program at the fair, which means I've got to make sure the kids are safe, the animals are safe, and the parents leave us alone as much as they possibly can.
You're a cowboy at heart, aren't you?
Well, my mother says I rode before I walked.
Every time, if you've ever seen Roy, he's always got a cowboy hat on.
Like I say, I'd like to be able to do, and I'm actually, Megan Pestle, you know her, of course, and she's invited me to come and speak at the next deal that she's doing again this year. And she actually came and was an assistant, became an assistant instructor for hunter safety. Working, you know, I was her instructor, and now she's got all of her paperwork, and she is now verified to do that. And I was glad to have her do that at our club and be connected with us.
Yep, Megan is, well, she obviously writes for us. She's a monthly columnist, and she's part of our marketing team too. Yep, she's she wears a lot of hats, believe me.
Yes, she does.
We've had her on the podcast before. What are you looking forward to, Roy? You looking forward, you gonna get a little downtime? Little break. You're going to get some hunting in here yourself.
Well, I've got two different women that came to women's days that had never hunted up until, well, one of them last year, and now it'll be a second one this year. And I've got some deer. I got to try and figure out how to tie them up so they get something to shoot at. But you know, my big thing now is whether it's with a crossbow or whatever, if I don't put one doe in the freezer, my wife gets a little upset. But other than that, my big thing is to get people that I have been to that want to go out and want to learn to hunt and get out there and get their first deer and you know, really fire. And they're the ones that are also going to turn around and get their friends to say, hey, you need to look into doing this. You know, we've got to grow our hunting community.
Anything else you want to say, Roy, before we sign off?
Oh, no, Dan, I hope we continue to get together on some things here and there. It's been real good working with you and talking with you all the time. And, you know, if anybody's out there that might need somebody to help them with a little along the way, I'm here.
Well, thanks for all you've done, Roy. And, the best to you and everybody else that's been part of this organization for the last, 14 years since it started, or 13, however long it's been, and for what you're able to accomplish. I think you guys ought to put a feather in your cap and as you walk away from this. And I know it was something you wanted to see keep going, but sometimes you just got to move on and to the next step in your life. You know, and it sounds like you got a lot of places to go. So good luck to you, my friend, and be sure to keep in touch.
Go, Dan, may your arrows fly straight.
I hope so. They wobble a little bit from time to time, you know. Thank you, Roy. You've been listening to the Great Northeast Podcast. For New York Outdoor News, I'm Dan Ladd.
Missed a past episode of the New York Outdoor News Great Northeast Podcast? You can find previous programs at outdoornews.com or via your favorite podcast streaming platform. And for the rest of the story on the topics we cover on this program, get yourself a subscription to Outdoor News. Simply call 800-535-5191 or visit us at outdoornews.com. And don't forget to join us again here in 2 weeks to talk everything out of doors. Thanks for listening to the New York Outdoor News Great Northeast Podcast.